Amen. Can we open our Bibles now? Can we stand up and pick a text? Proverbs chapter 22. And from certain questions you ask, and from certain behaviors that we see you put up when you come to a church like this, it becomes necessary for us to go back to this exhortation and maybe bring it out as much as possible clearer than before. And hope that somebody will understand why we are not a denomination. So that you will understand the move of God that has produced this setting. Called the Bride Assembly here, this ministry. There are some people that have been here before, for some of them for years. Some of them are even ministers. But when they leave here to go and set up something, what we see them set up is a reflection of their understanding of what we are doing here. That means they were here, but they did not understand anything we were doing here. And I think it's necessary that we should repeat some of these exhortations, these doctrines, these teachings that make the people to be established on what God is doing now. It is called the present truth. And I pick my text from a proverb chapter 22 and verse 28. And I want all of us to read it together. Everybody, shall we go? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Say it again. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Have something to say enough for somebody to understand why we are not a denomination. That scripture says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers. Your papa when don't die, go. There are landmarks he has set. And in chapter 23, verse 10, he repeated it there again, the wise man that wrote the book of Proverbs. He said, remove not the old landmark. Remove not the old, it emphasizes. Here, in verse 28 of chapter 22, he said, the ancient, he called it ancient landmark. But here in verse 10 of chapter 23, he called it the old landmark. Old landmark. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I am titling this exhortation, Maintaining the Ancient Landmark. Maintaining the Ancient Landmark. Amen. This thing about the landmark is so important. The wise man, the writer of the book of Proverbs, I understand they were Solomon's Proverbs, the wisest man that has lived on earth until Jesus, a greater than Solomon, came. Amen. But he was only repeating what law was already established in the first covenant under the law. God gave Israel a commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. It was a law. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Can we read it? And verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. This is the law. Thou shall not. It's a commandment, it's a law. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. He added again another law. Praise the Lord. Now, when he mentioned where the fathers of old said, for your inheritance, he said, should not remove it. It's so much important that the landmarks are maintained until he placed a curse in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17 and verse 18. He placed a curse. Verse 17 and verse 18. He said, cursed be he that removed his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Amen. He said, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. I link it to verse 17 for a reason. Amen. And all the people shall say, amen. It's so important that you maintain the landmarks that if you remove it, he said, that person shall be cursed. Amen. And he said, the landmarks that our fathers of old. And remember that the Old Testament or the New Testament is understood from the old. It's a shadow of things to come. Grace, hallelujah, fulfills the law. So we establish the law by the understanding. We establish grace by the understanding of the law. Everything you see in the law there has something to do with Christ and his church. Has something to do with the New Testament. I want you to understand that very well. And if you speak about the fathers, praise the Lord. The fathers there are those who gave birth to them. Amen. Carriers of the promises that went to the land of promise. Carriers of that, they produced the children of Israel that were now enjoying the land. But there was a law. While you were enjoying that land, there is a law. Our fathers in this grace age, who are our fathers? They are our apostles. The apostolic father. The apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take note of that very well. Don't let anybody shift your mind away from the apostles. They are the fathers of the faith that we hold on to today. Amen. Hallelujah. And what are the landmarks? What are they for? The landmarks are for identification of boundaries of your inheritance. It's for two things. Landmarks are meant to achieve two things. Number one, when they enter the promised land, portions were divided to every tribe. And when you get there, every family again had their own. So that there will be no fight. This is Gad, Reuben, Joseph, and who and who again? All of you, this, you, your own, this is your boundary. Your own, this is your boundary. And a landmark is set. So that everybody will know the limit of their own inheritance. If you remove and try to cheat and maybe remove, if you remove the landmark that is kept there, what is the effect? There will be confusion. People will not know their boundary anymore. Before you know what, they may be entering somebody else's land and take over somebody else's land, and then it will cause fights. God descended and arranged his people like that. And also, landmarks are also set for bearing, for plotting your bearing. to identify the route to travel to a destination that your fathers have traveled before. And knowing that people will come after them and they will take the same route so that they will arrive where the forefathers said they are supposed to arrive. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody now. Ahab said to make the journey easy, to identify the route that our forefathers took. And the journey we are referring to is the journey from earth to glory. Hallelujah. From earth to glory. And there are landmarks. The apostles knew that they will give birth to us. They will become our apostolic fathers. So they left something. They told us of a glorious home that they were traveling to. And they told you there is no other way to get there. This is the only way. If you try any other way, you will miss it. Church, and believe that is the reason why we are Christians today. We have a hope. And it is a hope of resurrection. And it is a hope of the rapture. It is a hope of going to be with the Lord in heaven. It is a hope of living eternally. Please catch this revelation and know where to stand in your Christian faith. This journey we are in is not new. Our apostolic fathers have taken this same route before. And there is no other route to follow than the route they have followed. And the children, apostolic children, the children of the apostles, you and me, it is the same route we are supposed to follow. So that we will be where they are. If you follow another route, you will never be there. You will never be there. Praise the Lord. And the landmarks for this journey is the apostolic faith. It's the apostolic doctrines. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. First and foremost, we have the landmarks for the boundaries. When you come to Christ, you have come to your rest. You have come to the promised land. The promised land, first and foremost, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, church. Jesus and Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses pulled out the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. Amen. And when he finished pulling them out, released their freedom, Moses, God took him away for the next stage of the ministry. Who was the one that took over from Moses? Joshua was the one that took over from Moses. And when he took over from Moses, hallelujah, what was the primary job of Joshua? He was the one that distributed the land of promise to every tribe. He gave this one, Reuben, this is your own. This one, this is your own. He was the one that supervised and put them one by one and distributed the land among them. Moses, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And that prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. He pulled us from the bondage of the law and brought us to grace. And when he finished, he shouted, "It is finished. Whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed." But he said, "Wait until you receive the promise of the Father." And God took him away. And 10 days later, the Holy Ghost came down. And it is by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is now the work of the Holy Ghost to position every one of us in that body, in that land of promise. And he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some. Everyone, you have your own position. That is the work of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, for the identification of boundaries, what did our apostolic fathers, what did they say? What did they teach concerning boundary? Then we shall look at concerning the pathway for the journey. The boundaries first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number one. Amen. God, stay where you are. First and foremost, they were warned when they entered the promised land. They were warned that they should not join themselves to those Canaanites. Everyone remain within where God has kept you. You are Jews. Because if you join them, amen, if you join them, you begin to serve their gods. He said, remember, this is the reason why God drove them away from this land and gave them to you, Israel. They are the rightful owner, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He chooses whom he gives. The land belonged to the Canaanites, but they forgot the true God and turned the corruptible images and made images and bowed before them and looked away from the true God. God cannot share his glory with graven images. And all the abominations they were doing, because of it, God drove them away and gave the land to his children. A promise. One of these days, this earth will be wiped away and the bride of Jesus Christ will come and rule on this earth. How many people have that hope? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so before you know what, let's read 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2. And let's read verse 15, 16, and 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. This is what our apostolic father said. He said, love not the world. It is a landmark. Anybody that tells you it doesn't matter, he is removing the ancient landmark. The ancient landmark of separation. The word of God calls for separation. Israel, separate yourself from the Canaanites. We are in this world, but not of this world. Let's read it, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Please, listen to me very well. Listen to me very well. He didn't say, have not the world. Have not the things that are in the world. Love, but the emphasis is, don't love it. I don't know how to make you understand. Are you understanding my English? Because evil money, it is not money that is evil. It is the love of money. There is a limit to which you can use money. And there is, when you pass that limit of associating yourself with money, it becomes problem to you. And it becomes even sin. Because that will make you to have problem with God. Money. 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 To tell you money is a spirit. I'm telling you, I will see 80-year-old man, minister, president for Africa, and they'll be corrupt, chopping billions of the people's money. When you get old, I thought that when you get old, the older you are, the lesser you think of this world and the more you think of the next place that is expecting you. But when you see people still die, you just know that that thing is a spirit. That thing is a spirit. It's a spirit, oh. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. As old as I am, instead of looking at contentment and thinking, if I die now, and evil Christians, we should be wiser. Right now, life expectancy is reducing. So it's no more even about age. In fact, how many of us will reach the old age before we go? All manner of sickness is everywhere. Terrorists everywhere. Militants everywhere. Armed robbers everywhere. Hired assassins everywhere. Ritual killers everywhere. You don't know whether as you are going out, you are coming back safe. Even if you think you have come back safe, they will still come and knock your door. And they can still take you away. So why are you so much chasing the things of this world? So that you understand why that commandment was given. Let's read it again. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see now? For all that is in the world, all, somebody shout all. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Who wants to abide forever? This world and all the lusts, they will pass away. The only thing that will abide forever is he that will do the will of God. And this is the way James put it. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. James 4, 4. James 4, 4. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not. I've explained this. The adulterers here are not people. It's not the sexual sin he's talking about. He's talking about you, yoking people, Christians who yoke with the world. He calls it adultery. You are adulterating your faith by mixing it with worldliness. And anything that is adulterated, the originality fades away. And our Christian faith must not be adulterated. So that when they see a Christian, he stands clean, original, by words and by deeds. You are a Christian, but when you mix it with the world, we don't know whether you're a Nollywood star or you're a Christian sister, by the way you dress, by the people you associate with, by the places you go, by the things you do, even the kind of businesses you do, what others do, you mingle and you do with them, and we don't know where you belong, whether you are part of them or you're a Christian. He calls you an adulterer. You are adulterating it. If you're a woman, you are an adulteress. Let's read it. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? What is it that adulterates your faith? Friendship with the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5. Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusted to envy? The ancient landmark. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's a commandment. It's a landmark. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And verse 1 and verse 2. Let's read it from verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is where I'm going. And be not, it's a commandment, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transform, move from the world into Christ. Transfer yourself from one lifestyle to the acceptable lifestyle. Be ye transformed. How do you do it? By the renewing of your mind. For out of the abundance of the heart, renew it by the renewal of your heart, that you may prove what is the good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is a landmark to maintain. Maintaining the ancient landmarks. When he gave the commandment, there are commandments, some commandments in the Old Testament that are moral laws that must be kept now. When in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, he gave the commandment that a man shall not put on that which pertains to a woman, and a woman should not put on that which pertains to a man. He said, for such that he says, abomination. It's abomination. Abomination. When we talk about transforming, that's what we're talking about. You cannot be a Christian and dress like the world. The world dresses anyhow. They don't care whether a man cloth or they wear now. Now, self, there's confusion. Women, men now wear a ring. women wear a ring. So we don't know. Before, in the world, they identify woman by a ring. When should they wear? When should they come? And now men too wear a ring. So we don't know now how to even identify them. Now we identify men or women. We differentiate them by the clothes they wear. Now women, they wear trousers. Man, they wear trousers. When they come, you have to put on glass, come nearer, even look well to know whether na man or na woman. Because there are even drugs that men wear and talk like woman. And there are drugs that women take and talk like man. Act like man. They even have muscle like man. So you have to go and sometimes ask, excuse me please, are you a man or a woman? It happens. One sister called me one time. I said, God bless you, sir. He was talking. He said, no, it's a sister. I said, I said, you have the voice of a man. He said, now so then they talk. He said, now so then they talk. Tell her every time saying, get voice of a man. Let a man be a man. That is what that scripture says. It is a commandment. And our apostolic fathers maintain that. And the children must maintain it. It is one of the ancient landmarks to identify boundaries. Boundaries that separate us from the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, what we just read, the next verse, verse 3, let's read it up to verse 8. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And if you read on and on, verse 8, or ministry, verse 7, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, hallelujah, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, let him rule with diligence, and he that showeth mercy, show it cheerfully. What Apostle Paul is saying there is, stay in your calling. It is a boundary. Operate within the measure of faith you have. Don't preach like Pastor Moses preached. Don't force yourself and see vision and give your own revelation like the other prophet does. When you do that, you are crossing your boundary. The Holy Ghost has kept you in a particular place. Remain where he has kept you. That is your promised land. Hallelujah. Women preachers, uncle, there is a boundary for you. Your boundary, it ends. Don't climb the altar. Where men are seated down, it's a boundary, it's a landmark. Permit not a woman to teach, no, you usurp authority over the man. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2, for those of you writing it down. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and from verse 34 or so, you see those commandments. Let the woman learn in silence. Permit not the woman to speak in the church. You are to be in subjection. It's a landmark. See where you are to stay. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. And you are to subject yourself to your head. Stop following what the Moabites and the Edomites and the Philistines, the way they live, because they are living around you people that tell you what a man can do, a woman too can do. No, that is the Moabites That is the law in the Moab, and in Philistine, and in where again? The Hittites and the rest. That is their law. But in Israel, we have our own law. Maintain it. Maintain it. We have our law. How we relate with our men. Our wives, they obey their husbands. They subject themselves to their husbands. They don't shout at their husbands. They don't go and carry their husband cloth and wear and stand there and cross leg for palo. They don't do like that in Israel. Can I see the Israelite here? Oh, we are many. Thank you. Thank you. It is the ancient landmark. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm talking about boundaries. I'm only calling some of them. There are too many. I can stay from now till evening and be saying it because it will mean me reading the whole New Testament. But at least to give you an idea of how we are supposed to comport ourselves from earth here to glory. The world has entered the church. Christianity has been adulterated. And it's difficult now to preach the true gospel. Error has corrupted the whole meal. Leaven has corrupted the whole meal. Until now, I am looked at as some funny. Imagine, everything I preach is in the Bible. Anything I say, I point you to the Bible. But they are getting angry with me. That man, all that nonsense. I say, just preach salvation, preach salvation. Do you know salvation? Your own idea of salvation is to say God is good. God is good. Just believe, just believe, just believe, just believe. But you are not telling them what to believe. I am telling them what to believe now. I am saying, believe the ancient landmarks. That is why you should believe. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. There is a qualification. It's not every chick and child that will carry Bible and say, God, call me. There is qualification. We have it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 1 to verse 13. Read it on your own. Titus, Apostle Paul, laid it down for Timothy, laid it down also for Titus chapter 1. And verse 5 to 9. You read it. There is qualification. And one of it is that a pastor must be a husband of one wife. A deacon. Qualification for a deacon also. Hallelujah. From verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Read it to that verse 13. A deacon must be a husband of one wife. If you have two wives, you cannot be a minister. If you have two wives, you cannot be a deacon. Church! I know a pastor that has three wives. Praise the Lord. Read it so that anytime we want to make any appointment, before we make the appointment, we always put it to the church. If you have any reason why this person should not be ordained, you let us know. We always do it. We expect that you will look at this qualification and say, this is the reason I feel this person is not qualified. One time we were to ordain a set of deacons. We presented them to the church. The next Sunday, if we don't have anything, we ordain them. By Friday, somebody came and we got to know that the man had a second wife where he keeps somewhere. And he didn't go to church. And he was acting here like a very responsible person. Until his wife can't leak him out to say, now I'm appointing this one. He get another woman somewhere because I delay in conception. He go marry another woman and they go church. It happened before they came to bride assembly. So on Sunday morning, he was preparing to come for ordination. I sent for him in my office. I said, brother, you get second wife. He said, that was, that was. I said, no, we don't want to know the history. Amen. We know it happened before you came to this church. Sorry, according to this scripture, you cannot be. Pastor Thomas, you know who I'm talking about. Amen. And so we ordained the rest. We didn't ordain him. Praise the Lord. And the qualifications are there. He must not be a drunkard. Hallelujah. And if the person is married, we will watch how you bring up your family first. If you are not able to tame your family, how will you come and rule the church? It is a landmark. And when we follow these landmarks, the church won't have problem. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The landmark also, secondly, as a bearing from earth to glory. First and foremost, Apostle Paul, he made one serious statement. He said, follow me. Follow me. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Follow me. Follow me. Can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. See? He said what? Everybody, shall we read it? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There's also another scripture where he said, follow me, even as I follow Christ. Now you see, so it's a commandment. And Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Am I correct? Hallelujah. So if you are going to follow him, if you are looking for somebody to follow, it is not somebody in Shomolu. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. So can you listen to me? If you are looking for somebody to follow, it's not Pastor Moses. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Because there are some very foolish people. It is their pastor, either because he is very his oratory prowess or some charisma. Because oratory prowess, it goes with charisma, you know, so that it is well presented. They play with words. They can carry words and scatter your head like this. Oh my, this my. What did he say? He made one poetic rhymes with words to scatter your head. Listen, you are not to follow any man because he's anointed. It's not to. There is already a landmark to follow. The landmark was not set by your pastor. It was set by our own fathers. All fathers, listen, even Paul himself said, follow me even as I'm a follower of Christ. Listen, if you were in those days where there was no Bible, and Apostle Paul came to you and said, follow me even as I am of Christ, the natural thing for you to do is to say, Paul, wait, I want to know that Christ first. You are making reference to somebody. Now follow me as I'm following. So let me know who that Christ you are following is first. Then I will come and see whether you are following him or not. I don't know whether you people understand this. It's a normal thing. If Apostle Paul say, follow me even as I am of Christ. So Christ is not there again. We don't see Christ. Hallelujah. We don't see Christ. So how are we going to do now? Paul has already been vindicated. And anybody now that is a product of the ministry of Apostle Paul, and all of us in the Gentiles, we are products of the teachings of Apostle Paul, of the doctrines of Apostle Paul. He is our apostle. And all of us that preach, therefore, we are supposed to tell everybody, follow me even as I am a follower of Apostle Paul. Because you can go and find out who Paul is. And from there, now come and look at me. Whether you should follow me or not. Whether I am deceiving you that I am following Paul. When I am not following Paul. So leave me first. Go and study and know Paul first. Paul don't die, go. But he left a landmark. The apostolic doctrine. That is what you are supposed to do. If you don't do this, you are a mumu follower. You are a Christian without a base, without a foundation. Any wind that comes will blow you. Any wind that comes will blow you because you will have no rock you are standing on. Listen. You know why it's important to follow the landmark? Why they set the landmark? If you say you walk with God, there is a spirit that talks to you. What will you use to know whether that spirit is from God or is an angel of light, Satan? So, I will not live my life by even prophecy. No, lie. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to know your scripture. I've never said this openly, but let me say it now. I've never said this openly. Thank God I knew my scripture. I was kneeling down one day in 1990. I was praying in my room in Ikoyi, when I was living in Ikoyi. And I knelt down. Why are you laughing? I said, Ikoyi, you are laughing. Please, for those of you watching me from outside Nigeria, Ikoyi is where all the big men in Nigeria live. You are big in the field. You can be a big criminal. You can be a big businessman. All big people in Nigeria, including big criminals, they have place in Ikoyi. So I was in Ikoyi. I was kneeling down. And I was praying. I just gave my life to Christ 1 year old. In Christ. Inside Ikoyi. I was praying, Lord, show me my path. Which part do I belong? Because a preacher came and preached and said, everyone has a part to play. So after the service, I went kneeling down, Lord, show me my own path so I will know where to stay and function and work for you. Suddenly, while kneeling down there, I got caught up. I found myself in a hall, bigger than this hall. In fact, when I saw myself and I was alone there, the first thing that came to my mind was, hey, I don't die. Now my spirit is there here now. Okay, I'm waiting. Who will come carry me go? Whether in heaven or in hell now. So I go die. Then suddenly I heard footsteps. Back up. I turned, look. Two priests, they dressed like priests with collar. They came and I was waiting. Who are these? Then they said, you say you want to know your part in the body of Christ? And I had to cut the long story short. When I said yes, there was something they showed me. Immediately I turned and I saw my wife and her junior sister living with me. And then the angel said, well, before you move, he said, before we go ahead, you have to choose between serving God and these two people. I looked. Now my wife, now this. And then I said, no, I choose God. I choose God. Then they told them, so you can see, so you can go. And disappointedly, they turned and they went. And then they showed me other things. But this aspect is my reference point. And then when I came back to myself, I said, does it mean that I will not be able to serve God unless I divorce my wife? Now, the first thing that came to my mind, but the Bible says that you cannot divorce after you're married. A Christian cannot divorce. What kind of revelation is this? Hallelujah. I'm using it as an example. What does this mean? Amen. But years later, I got to understand that my wife and the junior sister represented the two churches I related with before this ministry started. So that those of you who dream, you will understand there was one that I was thoroughly married to. thoroughly married to. In fact, everything in that church, I single-handedly sponsored it to the glory of God. Everything, I was, in fact, the single financier of that ministry. I was a contractor with the PTF. I had a lot of money and I decided I will use it to serve God. And then, the other one is the sister church that I was there for about 5 years. These are the two churches that I left before this church started. God was telling me that these two churches you will leave before your ministry will start. Listen, but well, that teaches you too that those of you who dream, make sure, pray that God grants you interpretation. This one, I did not understand it until after this church started. But I could not divorce my wife because of ministry, because it was contrary to the ancient landmark. In the beginning, it was not so. There was something for me to make reference to. And what I was supposed to make reference to is the same teachings of Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. And just as they laid a curse on anyone that shall remove the landmark of his neighbor, Apostle Paul also laid a curse in Galatians chapter 1. Verse 7. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 7. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 7. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 6. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you. Can you see? Remove. Somebody shout, remove. You see, they remove. It's a remover. It's a remover. From him that call you into the grace of Christ, you are removed unto another gospel. I just pray that somebody will listen to this message somehow and take a stand for this scriptural truth. Which is not even another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is being perverted now. This is the cause. But though we or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let that person be what? Let it be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That makes the apostolic doctrine our landmark from earth to glory. In the journey from earth to glory. Catch it so that no man will deceive you. The removal, the perversion is to remove you from the grace, from truth. Put you into error. The perfect Christianity. But let me tell you, they will not go too long with it. Because elect can never be deceived. And that's why only the elect, this exhortation I'm sharing now, this will make any sense at all. Only the elect will it make any sense to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord.